Hello, this is Tom Campbell, and I am the host of a series of interviews with local band members and music industry professionals from the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. The following interview is with David Wachter from David Anthony Productions. Today is April 15th, 2010, and I'm talking with David Wachter. David, what is your full name, your birth date, and your hometown?
Oh, my full name, David Anthony Wachter. Birth date, 6/25/1939. And I was born in Columbia Heights, Minnesota.
Where did you go to high school?
Columbia Heights High School.
What year did you graduate?
1958.
What are your early memories of rock and roll in the Twin Cities?
Oh, a lot of kids showing up spontaneously.
Where?
Oh, anywhere there was a good band, anywhere there was a good record store. Going down on the east end of Penn Island, Nicollet Island, down by De La Salle was a record store. Everybody, yeah, Don Leary's record store.
Did you see Elvis Presley on Ed Sullivan?
Yes.
What impact did that have on people of that era?
I got thrown out of the house.
Why?
My father did not appreciate the antics.
Really? Was that a common reaction amongst the...
I guess I heard that rumor after a while, yes.
What did it do for you personally?
Made me go out and buy the records. But I already had some of his stuff from listening to KAY, Little Rock, Arkansas. They used to play Stan's Record Shop, 728 Texas Street. Used to have commercials and played early Elvis stuff.
How would you pick up that radio station here in town?
I had 5 radios in my bedroom, and I was constantly turning the dial, especially on Sunday nights when the factories would shut down. You would get a lot of signals that you wouldn't get through the week.
Really?
Yeah, because of the magnet armature, whatever you call it, in the spinning motors.
So what stations were you able to pick up?
Oh, Boston. I don't remember all the call letters anymore. But I got Boston an awful lot of times. Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Miami had a 50,000-watt clear channel station. WCCO AM here used to be a clear channel. And we found out the Russians had their missiles aimed at our 50,000-watt broadcast radio stations, and that ceased to exist. 50,000-watt clear channels.
How about Chicago?
Oh, yes. 3 different stations in Chicago.
WLS?
Yes, WLS. I'm trying to... WCAL, maybe? There was one black station. I don't recall letters of that one.
And WDGY and KDWB were on?
Yeah, they were on. I listened to Kansas City, Oklahoma, KOMA, Oklahoma. They had bands out on the road, Red Dogs, the Fabulous Flippers, Spider, and I forgot what Spider had. But there was a band, Spider and the Crabs. That's it. I knew that was another word.
That was a band from where?
They were out of Oklahoma City. They were show bands. They were considerably different than the rock bands that we had here.
Did you ever go to the Crystal Coliseum?
Oh, yes.
So this is the early period of rock and roll, mid to late 50s.
There was a band called Big M's, very good. And I remember them, going to see them. The Corvettes, but I don't think they were in the 50s yet. I think they were in the 60s.
Mm-hmm. What kind of place was the Crystal Coliseum?
Just a great big room. It was a roller skating rink, more so than a dance hall. But everybody was trying to make extra revenue. Mm-hmm. So there was a place out on the lake, at Eagle Lake. Was it Chubb's Ballroom, maybe? I think. I used to go out there quite a bit. There was a... Armory dances were pretty big because armories were cheap to rent, $250, $50, $75, mm-hmm. depending on what the mm-hmm. owner of the, or the, pardon me, the sergeant in arms or whatever that was in charge of the armory would cut you a deal. And
I assume you saw Mike Wagner and the Bops.
Oh, yes. Mike Wagner and the Bops were around. They were around for a long time. They were always good, very pleasurable, mm-hmm. made good money. They played right up here, not too far away, St. Michael's a lot. Mm-hmm. Used to be a place there at St. Michael's.
Do you remember the very first local band you saw play live?
Oh, boy. I tried to bring Jack Martin with me because he was in a lot of the bands at that point. He had a band called the Roulettes, and he had keyboard player Mark Naftalin playing keyboard for him. He had there's a lot of names that, you know, mm-hmm. when I hear them, I go, oh, yeah, I remember that. But to be able to pull them up on mm-hmm. microphone anytime mm-hmm. I want, it's kind of tough.
So you developed this interest in listening to different radio stations. So you were exposed to a large number of different bands, different artists.
Different cultures. Yeah.
And what impact did that have on you? Did that...
I don't know about impact. It made me aware of a lot of things I probably wouldn't have been aware of otherwise.
So you're hearing songs that quite possibly no one else in the Twin Cities is.
Oh yes,
ever
that
heard.
Was yep. That was very common that I'd have when I started doing record hops at the school. I was getting my records from the KAY, from Stan's Record Store. You got 10 records for $4.99.
So you
that included mailing them up to me in Minneapolis, so that was pretty good. So I didn't have to go to the record store and get them.
So you started doing record hops when you were in high school?
Yes, right out of first year in high school, ninth grade. I went to a Immaculate Conception grade school. We had a large gym, held about 700 kids. And the local Knights of Columbus wanted to do something to bring the kids in. And I said, well, the only way we're going to get a good turnout is if we let everybody in, whether or not they went to school here or come to church here. Mm-hmm. So then they had to have three special meetings to find out if that was going to fly with the parish. And then that flew, and we had $714 come in at 75 cents a head and a dollar drag.
So
first night. And Rose Totino from Totino's Pizza was in charge of the youth program at that time.
So everybody was happy.
Yeah, and nobody knew who she was at that point.
And you're playing the discs?
Yes.
Up on stage?
And my stereo that I had, and then I'd have a microphone that was on the PA system and stuck it in front of the little speaker. And it wasn't the greatest sound in the world, but it gave the kids something to do. And then they said, well, can we get a band? So I went out and started looking for bands.
What did you find?
Well, we had a local group that was kind of a group. I shouldn't say this. Wagner was his last name.
Do you mean Mike Wagner?
No. This kid was a piano player. He has a motor rebuilding place on 37th and University right now. I think it's his kids that are running it, but. Wagaman, right.
What's his full name?
I'm trying to remember. Last name is Wagaman.
Do you guys know his first name? Wagaman. Okay. And he played what?
He was a keyboard player.
Okay.
The bands then said, "Hey, we need somebody to book us, so why don't you go out and do it?" And I said, "Well, what's involved?"
They asked you to book them.
Yes.
Because they knew you were doing record hops?
Well, because at the same point, right after I did the first one, about within 3 weeks, I had, I don't know how many dozen offers from other Knights of Columbus or VFW halls calling saying, would you come and do that for us?
Was this a volunteer job for you, or did you get paid?
And that was volunteer. Until I started booking the bands. Then they paid.
Do you remember the first band you ever booked?
Oh, boy. I'd have to think about that for a while. It would have been at Immaculate Conception, I'm sure. But I don't remember the first band.
And where was that located again?
Northeast Minneapolis. Still there. Building's still there. Mm-hmm. My footprints are still there.
So how did you like booking bands?
Well, the booking the bands wasn't the hard part. It was all the girlfriends calling up looking for the guys in the band.
Really?
Yes, because it tied up your telephone lines. And that was always, so we had the standard rule is, sorry, miss, we don't give out any information except you have to get it from the band direct yourself. Yeah, we don't give out any information. No phone numbers, don't take messages, nothing. That still didn't stop them. They kept on calling because every 3 weeks there'd be a new set of women. So
at some point, do you figure you want to go into this full-time as a business?
Oh, it happened very quickly.
After high school or during high school?
During high school, even.
During high school.
Yeah. And
when did David Anthony Productions come into existence?
Well, originally it started out as DA Enterprises.
Enterprises?
Yeah, David Anthony, just DA.
Mm-hmm.
And then I published that in the Northeast Minneapolis Artist, 1957, I believe, or 56.
That was a newspaper or?
Northeast Minneapolis Artist was a newspaper, yeah. And then we had the Columbia Heights Record, which was the actual Columbia Heights newspaper. Mm-hmm. But a business listing had to be in a county newspaper, not a local one. I guess that's where all the official notices went, type of thing. So
you're still in high school, and you're booking live bands.
Mm-hmm. Not a lot.
Still doing the record hops?
Record hops lasted for maybe 3 years, something mm-hmm. like that.
Were you playing records the kids all knew, or were you exposing them to some new music as well?
Well, the deal was I was supposed to give away five records every week. So usually the kids got to choose what they wanted, which meant I got left with the five dogs out of the 10 that we bought or whatever, you know. Because 3 months later, they might not want to hear that record anymore, you know, type of thing, how that went. And we only did these in the wintertime and fall or spring. I didn't do any during the actual summertime that I can remember.
Did you book live bands during the summer?
Yeah. But there weren't near as many places to play, and when you went in to talk to a lot of the guys about rock and roll, they just wanted to throw you out. I remember going to see a fellow by the name of Wilford Schiffler up in New Munich, Minnesota.
There was a ballroom up there?
Yeah, and I had called him. Well, I spent my summers in that area, and so I was familiar with where all the old-time music places were. So anyway, I call this Wilford Schiffler on the phone. He says, come on up and see me. We'll talk about it. Now, his only experience at that point that I'm aware of was Jerry Lee Lewis. And I think Jimmy Thomas was probably booking Jerry Lee Lewis at that point. I'm not sure for sure about that. But that's what I remember hearing. Anyway, I got hired to do The Door as a check on the house. And I told the road manager for Jerry Lewis, I said, there's two doors. He lets all the local kids in the back door. You have to go and move the garbage can because they hired it with the garbage can. And that was why I think I got hired, because from previous trips, they figured they weren't getting paid enough for what the attendance was, because he was on a 50% or 60% of the door thing. And needless to say, I didn't get the guy as a client after he found out I was the guy that turned. But when he passed away, his son called me right away and said, you caught my dad. He was embarrassed.
That was the new Munich ballroom, correct?
I think it burned down just a couple of years ago. So that was not an uncommon occurrence. I mean, I had to do a lot of that checking on the bar, on the club owners and stuff. They're trying to keep a little under the table, and you're trying to keep them a little bit more honest.
So most of the ballrooms were playing old time music.
Oh yes. Yeah, a lot of them wouldn't even talk to you about about rock and roll. I'm going to say some places I had to call 3-4 times before I even got them to listen. And, well, why do they have to be so damn loud? And I said, well, that's what the kids want. You know, it's not necessarily what I want. It's what the kids want.
Right. So other than the ballrooms and the armories, the KC clubs, were there any other places that were having live bands in this late 50s, early 60s? Or is this before the teen clubs come?
The teen clubs were starting to come in. I'm just trying to remember when I first heard actually a teen club. I was going to say probably, before Bobby's, there was, what was the one down in Nicollet? Costume Garrett's place. Mr. Lucky's, yeah.
Mr. Lucky's?
Yeah, that was there. It was Bobby's.
Did you book any bands into Mr. Lucky's?
Yeah, a few. I don't think that was, in-town accounts were not my specialty.
What was your specialty?
Anywhere they needed music.
So mostly outside of the Twin Cities.
Well,
it'd
be, some would be inside. It wasn't always the the hot spot at the time. Mm-hmm. That's always a political thing in any city. There's always, you know, somebody's got a little bit more right than you do as far as getting a band in a club, or the owner's your buddy or whatever, or your drinking buddy. Or
at what point do you become full-time booking agent?
Oh, I was full-time booking agent from, 60 on, 59 on, mm-hmm. through the time I got drafted in April of 62.
Okay, so you're gone from Minnesota from 1962?
Missed the change.
How long were you gone for?
2 years.
2 years. So you're back.
Just long enough.
So you're back in 1964.
Yep.
Was there any, did you observe any changes in the local music scene at that point?
Yeah, the kids had long hair.
Did you watch the Beatles on Ed Sullivan?
Yes. I wondered why.
You weren't a fan? You weren't a fan of the Beatles?
The later stuff, yes, not as early. Uh-huh. I was very upset that they pushed the Teamin off the charts.
The T-Men?
T-Men, yeah, the Trashmen.
Oh, the Trashmen. What was your involvement with the Trashmen? Oh,
I was a booking agent that helped them a little bit.
Booked them prior to Surf and Bird?
I believe so. Mm-hmm. I don't remember any specific dates or anything. I remember that Bill Deal would call me and got mad when I'd have dates that were already booked, and I'd say, well, I'm sorry, but when I make a deal, the deal's there. And I don't pull him out just because he wants something with 4 days notice. I can't do that to a club owner.
So the Trashmen have a national hit in 1963 with Surfer.
Right. Bird. But I'm talking before. Mm-hmm. Before I went in the Army.
Prior to 62.
Yeah, Bill Deal would call me for dates on the band.
Oh, okay. Okay. Did that have an impact on the local music scene when the Trashmen had a national hit song in 1963?
I know it sold a lot of guitars. B-sharp music, oh, that for sure. He made the money.
Jim Lopez.
Band can only make one appearance a day. He can sell 300 guitars a day pretty easy.
Jim Lopez.
Yeah. I don't know if he ever sold 300 in a day, but I heard they did over 100 in a day sometimes. So.
That's... Okay, so what happens when you get back from the Army in 64?
I was back about a week and a half. Well, I came home at Christmas time. I called up some of the fellas, let them know I was coming back if they were interested. Mm-hmm. And then I opened up in a 1.5 room office with another tenant that was an accountant in the back room. I was in there for 2 months max. Then I moved down to the hall and went from one telephone line to 5 telephone lines.
Where was your office located?
41st and Central, Columbia Heights. 4150 Central. sign was up for a long, long time. Building's gone now, yeah. Like the Labor Temple.
So what bands are you booking now in 1964?
Oh, boy. 64. My first mailer had four names on it, of which one was a real band and the other three was the same band playing with different names.
Really?
I just didn't think it was feasible to send out just one name card and get me business back. So I made up three names, and I'm trying to remember what the first band was that was on there.
Was it the Trash Band?
No. At that time, they were already so busy that, I mean, I don't. The Trashmen were.
You guys know? First band? No. So you had one real band and three fake bands.
Well, I just would tell the club where I'm sorry, the other one's all booked right now. I said, I'll have to call you back when I get an open date. Oh, okay. Why nobody saw through that one, I'll never know, but it worked.
Now, are there more venues to play at this point?
Yes, there's a lot more venues. I just was out of contact with everybody. I had to go around and drive around physically and introduce myself because I was still from the old school of knowing who my customer is.
Mm-hmm. I've heard talk of a Thunderbird vehicle.
Yeah, 1962 Thunderbird, yes. That was the best car I ever had.
What color?
Sunburst red. Two-seater. Went like a rocket.
Leather interior?
Yes, leather interior.
White white leather?
Nope, red. Red leather, yeah.
I imagine that was an impressive car at that time.
Well, it was for me. It was a very comfortable car to drive when you put in, like I did, an awful lot. I burned it up. I got 156,000 miles out of it before the motor gave out. And that only lasted till I traded it in when the 66 LTDs came out.
Were you booking outside of Minnesota as well?
I was getting Fargo, Bismarck, Army, the military bases up in North Dakota. Got out to Rapid City some, Sioux Falls some. A lot of times I would just pick up a date on a local band in some of them markets to get me started out there. And then the local band would break up, but I'd still have the contact.
Wisconsin, too?
Wisconsin, I didn't do as much because they were beer bars, and I didn't have a lot of bands that were really, until later on in like 68, 69, then my bands were a little bit more compatible with that. The kids didn't like the R&B scene over there. They were more interested in.
So as you get going here in the mid-60s, you pick up some more bands along the way?
Mm-hmm. At the best I ever had was I had 35 bands on the road, and I think I had 34 of them working, like 30, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Or Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 2-3 days out of the week. One day I booked 146 jobs by myself. And at this point I had clubs from like Kansas City and Milwaukee calling and just giving me, saying, just take over my club. And I say, I don't have that many bands that I can just take over your club. Because club bands are a whole different market than the one-nighter bands are. You're playing at a lot less volume. You're playing an entirely different repertoire in most cases. You're not just sitting there pumping out one hot song after the next because you're in more of an entertainment type thing.
Were you always on your own, or did you have any business partners or employees?
Oh, I had employees. Let's see, I got up to six, I remember correctly.